News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Sleepovers are heaven for kids and hell for parents. That's the view of Dr. Mally Coyne, clinical psychologist and author of Love In, Love Out, who joins us now. Mally, why is it a difficult thing for parents to navigate sleepovers with their kids?
I think it's just a lot of work, to be honest. When you have a sleepover in your own house, it can be, well, it is an awful lot of work, you know, having another child or children come and sleep in your house. Parenting is hard enough as it is. And I suppose, you know, having your child sleep in another house brings about its own kind of challenges and worries. So whilst I say it can be hell for parents, you know, parenting can be hellish sometimes for us anyway. And I guess it's just a question of, is this a hell or is this a situation worth doing? And in my view, I suppose my kids are 10 and 12. And I think that a lot of parents are avoiding sleepovers nowadays compared to my, you know, when I was younger, and I absolutely loved sleepovers. So I think sometimes it's a hell worth paying for. Certainly for my kids, I do allow some, but just in very kind of small bouts, because I think it just provides so many positive, you know, kind of rites of passage for them.
Now, look, I have to say sleepovers certainly weren't around when I was a kid. I'm a skeptic about them. I think they put a lot of pressure on kids. I think it's yet another one of those things we do with kids nowadays that they can actually wait till they're older to do. But we seem to be really keen to load on these experiences onto kids. I think it puts pressure on them. I think it isolates those kids who don't want to do sleepovers. Yeah, I think it's fine when you're in your, you know, mid-teens and so on. But personally, I think when you're 10 and 11, I think you're too young for sleepovers.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose like when I was, you see, the thing is, I think it differs amongst boys and girls. I don't know. I grew up in lots of different countries. And when I was around between 9 and 11, I was in Holland. And I think it's girls are probably more likely to ask for sleepovers than boys are, I think. I think it might be a gender thing as well.
I don't know. I think, again, it's like we're striving for these things for young children that are actually more suitable for teenagers.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of think if it's something that your child is asking you about and it's something that their friends are doing as well. And, you know, like if you put certain kind of rules in place, like, you know, you are going to be going to bed at this time. You know, mommy will be a nice mommy for a while, but if you continue kind of, you know, if you guys continue staying awake.
But they never sleep, Mally. That's the other thing. They stay up. They're awake till 3 and 4 in the morning.
But like, how do you know? Because you haven't done it. Do you know what I mean?
Like, no, I didn't say I hadn't done it. I just said I don't like the idea of it. And my experience is that they never go to sleep, or they don't go to sleep till really late.
Well, that night they absolutely did go to sleep, and they were asleep by midnight, and they had an absolutely amazing time.
Is there something forced about it, though? That kind of forced fun? I always get that sort of vibe about it, that like for me, fun is about kids going out, playing randomly together, playing on the street, playing in a park, spontaneous. This is kind of like play dates. There's something very kind of controlled and regulated about it.
I don't know. I really don't think so. Like, I did this when I was a kid, and they were some of the best memories that I've had.
What are the do's and don'ts, finally, if your child is going on a sleepover?
I suppose just having good contact. You're not going to allow your child to go on a sleepover with a parent that you don't know. So having the contact with the other parent and kind of having an agreement really about, you know, like, what are they going to be doing? What are the sleeping arrangements? Talking to the other parent about that, having that regular kind of, you know, that open channel of communication, and also talking to your child about your expectations for them, and having like a code with your child for if they want to come home, then, you know, I suppose that this is, you know, and checking in with them before actual sleep time to make sure that they're okay. You know, so I think having kind of certain boundaries in place for that is really important, but knowing the other parent and knowing the other family.
Yeah, that's key, isn't it? And what about phone usage?
Well, yeah, exactly. My 12-year-old was on a sleepover lately with like her closest friend, and the parent contacted me and said, you know, I'm going to take her daughter's phone away at midnight or whatever. Is that okay for your daughter? And I said, yeah, absolutely. Even though my daughter was like, no, mom, I want to be able to contact you at 3 a.m. And I said, no, if you want to contact me at 3 a.m, just say, just go to the mom and ask her. But I want you guys to be off your phones. And actually, that was a really good decision. Then they went to sleep much more naturally than having their phone. So I think if they're a teenager, definitely you want the other parent to be taking away their phone at a certain time.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Dr. Molly Coyne, clinical psychologist, author of Love In, Love Out. Thank you for talking to News Talk Breakfast this morning.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR
on News Talk.